Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I'll give our audience at home and you here in the assembly this morning an opportunity to turn to that. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. The Apostle Paul writing said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any thing praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you."
Very interesting times that we're in, to the point that lives have been changed, attitudes have been adjusted, people are really digging into their faith, and rightfully so, we ought to be. I hope that this is a time that we can really stop and consider the blessings of life. There are going to be many, unfortunately, that are going to perish, they're going to die. This is going to be our time as members of the church to encourage, to help, to strengthen. And it's going to be a challenge for us. But I believe that the Lord's church is up for the challenge. And the reason why is because we are the people of God. We're the people of God because we were made in the very image of Christ, Romans 8:29. And so with those things being said, we want to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we want to keep those things in our minds. This is a very serious time for our land. This is a very serious time for the Lord's church. Yet, it's a very great time of peace for the Lord's church, but not so peaceful for those who may not have their eyes on Jesus. And the reason why I say that is because as the people of God, even though things may shake us every now and then, we have to keep in mind that we are in an unshakable kingdom. We're in the Lord's church. And so our responsibility today is to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. It's not a time for us to be fighting brethren. It's not a time for us to be fighting the world. It's not a time for us to be fighting at all. It's a time for us to be encouraging one another. Why? Because the world needs us to encourage. And that's why the word of God is so powerful. You remember when Paul was talking to those Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse number 32. He says, "Now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified." In Philippians chapter 4, if you notice, there are a few things that are worthy of our attention. We see a few commands in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, 5, and 6, take notice what the Apostle Paul there says, worthy of our consideration. Number one, these are in the imperative, they're commands, which means that he didn't suggest these. These are not optional. He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Some 16 times, I believe it is, the word rejoice or joy is stated in the book of Philippians. 16 times. I think Paul was trying to get a point across to us. Four chapters, 16 times, on average, four times per chapter that we are to rejoice. It's not something that he is saying is optional. It's something you can think about it. By inspiration, in 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul spoke the commandments of the Lord. These are commands. He's telling us, rejoice. We have a lot to rejoice about. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says it two times in one particular passage. But look at verse number 5
Another command that he gives us. Let your moderation, the King James Version, or your gentleness. I love that word. As I was studying that word, I found it very interesting that the people of God ought to be a type of people that they're looking at all of the evidence, if you will. Not the evidence as looking at an argument in the scriptures, but as we're dealing with people, as we're striving to help people to be peaceful, we want to look at everything that's going on in their lives. We don't want to cast judgment. One thing that we want to do, we want to make sure that we are a gentle people. Turn your Bibles to the book of James. In the book of James, James, by inspiration, he actually gives us greater insight on this particular concept of moderation or gentleness. In James chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, here James says, therefore, be patient. There's our word right there. Be patient. But notice how James uses this word, until the coming of the Lord. It's interesting that Paul says the same thing pretty much in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5. Be anxious for nothing. Why is that? Because the Lord is at hand. Well, here, James says, as relates to being patient, wait on the Lord. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Stay with the Lord. And as the people of God, we're trying to be patient. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do is to be patient, to wait on God. We want to get ahead of God. But James says, be patient, wait on the Lord. Paul says the same thing, be anxious for nothing. That's the very next verse, number 6. You know, that's an imperative as well. That's a command. Be anxious for nothing. You remember in Luke chapter 10, there was a great woman, and she is a great woman, but she was kind of troubled and careful about many different things. Luke chapter 10, verse number 41 and 42. Her name is Martha. And you remember what Jesus said to Martha as it relates to Mary sitting at Jesus' feet? She chose the greater part. Sometimes we can be so anxious that we can't even choose the greater part because we're too anxious. You know what God is teaching us, Brother Royce? Settle down. Calm down. Think things through. It'll be okay. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say very emphatically, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's going to be okay. Either way, you know what we're trying to do, friends? We're trying to live the right life in front of people so they can see that there is hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And that's why we ought to be concentrating on not being anxious and being patient and gentle and striving to be the people that God will have us to be. And that's why I'm encouraged by those who are here, those who are listening. Stay with it. Don't give up. And be prayerful. Be prayerful. But notice verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 4. In verse number 7, he says something very, very powerful. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We think about that idea there, and we understand the peace of God is so powerful. There are a few definitions I want you to consider as it relates to the peace of God. The peace of God is a state of national tranquility. Well, we don't have a lot of that today, but I venture to say it ought to be some as a Christian. Safety, security, a tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation. Question, are you sure about your salvation right now? Are you sure? Are you sure? Friends, we can be sure that we're saved. John would say on one occasion, I write these things unto you that you may know that you're saved. We don't have to guess. We don't have to feel. We don't have to think. Friends, we can know it. Whether you listen to me on the radio, right here, you can know that you're saved. There's a life after this life. And that's why we're striving to be the people that God would have us to be. But then another definition, it's quietness. Remember again, Martha? Martha was so busy trying to get things ready in the house that she didn't do what Mary was doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, Brother Royce. You remember what Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor. There are a lot of people, they're just not going to Jesus right now. I'm reminded on one occasion of a man in the Old Testament. And he had disease in his feet. And the disease in his feet was going to cause him to die. And he sought all of the physicians. And the Bible says he didn't seek God. Jehoshaphat was totally different in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When all of the famine and all of the things were taking place during the time of Israel, Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord. Friends, there's nothing wrong with seeking doctors. We better. But we need to seek the Lord at the same time. There's a balance in this life. And the balance is that we want to make sure that God has our full undivided attention as we lay our bodies down, whether on a table or in a chair at the hands of a doctor. We know for a fact that God himself is the best doctor that one can have. You remember during the time of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 4, is there no balm in Gilead? Friends, there is a balm. The balm is called eternal life. There is a balm. It's called a peace of mind. There is a balm. It's called not being anxious. There is a balm. It's talking about being rejoiceful. Friend, there's a balm in Gilead. There's a balm in Christ. And you can be healed. You can have the right mentality. But notice Philippians chapter 4 again. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding." You know, when you get to that point where you can lay in your bed or sit on your easy chair and you can have a smile on your face when everything around you is going crazy, that's a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, it doesn't mean you're not nervous. It doesn't mean that you're not aware of the things that's going on around you. It doesn't mean that in your mind you're thinking, what if I? But there's a peace that passes all understanding. And notice what he goes on to say. He says, "Will guard your heart." The idea of guarding is the idea of a fortress. Your heart, your thoughts, your desires, your passions, your purposes, your character. Friends, we need that. I love how Paul says this to the church here, and he's encouraging them. And friends, we need to be encouraged. How? Look at verse 8. There he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are lovely or true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy," notice, meditate, think. What are you thinking about? The very fact that you're here and you're listening, I know you're thinking about the right things. And it's a struggle. And we don't ever want to diminish or try to put anyone down. But we do want to encourage. We do want to admonish. We do want to say, if you don't have the right mentality, let's get it. Because that's the only way we're going to make it. And friends, sometimes it just doesn't get any easier. This is the hardest I've seen it in my 48 years of life. I hope it doesn't get any harder, but if it does, we want to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We don't ever want to give up. We always want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We want to do the will of God. And so when we consider these things, notice verse number 9. And this is where our lesson will begin. All that was introductory material. Look at verse 9. He says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do. And the God of peace." You saw earlier the peace of God. Now you see the God of peace. Question, is the God of peace with you? It is if you are sitting at the feet of the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2, 4, verse 42. That's what it means to learn. It is if you're receiving, paying attention to what the Word of God is saying. Do you want to know why we did the things that we did this morning as relates to the hand sanitizer, making sure you had an usher to your seat, making sure that you received your communion, making sure that there was no contact with one another? Because the Word of God gives us an outline of principles that we can use in order to secure safety. Friends, this is not the first time there's a pestilence. There was a time of pestilence even in the Old Covenant. And the people of God were still responsible for making sure that they went to the temple of God to worship God, to strive to do his will. Why? because God wants to be praised, honored, and glorified. And friends, that's what we're doing. So this wisdom that's being used is to help us to be safe, sitting with our families. So we have to learn and meditate and grow. And so Paul says the things that you have learned and heard and received and heard, meaning comprehended, and saw, meaning that you saw me do this. He said, put this into action. Put it into place. And the God of peace will be with you. That's what we want. We want the God of peace with us. So let me talk about a few things. Two quick points. Number one, the God of peace promotes soundness of mind. Soundness of mind. A healthy mind. At times, if we're not careful, we can listen to everything around us. We can listen to all of the messages. We can read all of the billboards. We can read all of the posts. But if we're not careful and we don't go to the Word of God, we won't have soundness of mind. Why? Because the God who is the God of all spirits, the Father of spirits, He is the one that teaches us how to think. He is the one that teaches us how to move and operate. He's the one that teaches us how to be healthy in our mindset. And so no wonder the Apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, God has not given you the spirit, the attitude of timidity, of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Friends, if there's ever a time to apply that to our lives, the time is now. The time is now. The time is now. And the way that we can do that, we can do it through self-control. We can do it through applying the Word of God to our lives in order for the fruit of the Spirit to be displayed. The virtues of Christ, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Friends, the time is now. The time is now to be at peace. The time is now to be a spiritual individual, not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. The time is now to be at peace. And when we're at peace with God and the God of peace is with us, friends, we can go to bed at night. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul would say something to the young Timothy again. Notice this passage, and friends, I believe it applies even right now. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times. The word there, Brother Brian, perilous, literally means stressful times. It's a stressful time right now. And if anybody says that it's not, they're not living nowhere on the face of the earth. It's a stressful time right now. And so this is a time for us to, again, I'm going to keep saying it, encourage one another, strengthen one another. It's not a time for backbiting. It's not a time for fighting. It's not a time for fussing. It's a time for us to be getting along with one another and praying with one another and encouraging one another and strengthening one another. He said perilous times will come. In Psalm 91, in verse number 3, take notice what the Bible here says. In Psalm 91, in verse number 3, when I found this passage, I said to myself, wow, what a powerful passage, and how God's word can actually demonstrate great peace for us. Psalm 91, read verse number 1 through 3. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely, now notice this verse, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Friends, they were dealing with things even then. We are going to be dealing with those things now. But friends, we have to use some wisdom. We have to go to the Word of God for that wisdom. And the Word of God will teach us and grant us the wisdom that we need. So three things I want you to consider under that particular point that's going to help us to have soundness of mind. What's going to help us to have soundness of mind is education, meditation, and application. In that order, we have to educate ourselves in the will of God. We have to be able to meditate upon the Word of God, Philippians 4 verse 8, and apply it to our lives. Last point. Turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 5. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel, of course, during the time of Belshazzar, this was after Nebuchadnezzar, we see something very interesting about Daniel and the reputation that he had in this particular place. Can I ask a question? What's your reputation? How do people see you? I hope that they see us as children of God. Doesn't matter, come what may, I hope they see us as children of God. In Daniel chapter 5, take notice verse 11 through verse 16. There was a great issue going on with Belshazzar. And it was the queen at this time that said something about this man, Daniel. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, now notice this, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of God, of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, the soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams, dissolving doubts or solving riddles and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. Here was his moment right here, friends. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is the one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain or dissolve doubts. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have chains of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Do you know that God worked through Daniel, and Daniel was able to dissolve these doubts? Friends, if you have doubt about your salvation, doubt about anything, guess where you need to go? You need to go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. God is the one that dissolves doubts. I'm reminded on one occasion where Jesus is with his disciples on a boat. And of course, the disciples were very afraid. And Jesus said in Matthew 14, 31, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" Friends, I have one point. The point that we want to make is that let's not doubt the Lord right now. Let's stay with him. Let's stay with God. Let's strive to do his will. Let's encourage one another through phone calls, emails, text messages. Let's keep each other encouraged, for we need each other. The elders need you and you need them. We need our family members. And tell people to be safe. Use their head and do what is right. And the God of peace will be with us. I'm going to pray, give the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful even for these times, for your word teaches us in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We pray, dear Father, that we'll look to you, that we'll strive to do everything that you have called us to do. And when we fall short, grant us mercy and help us to grant others mercy and help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, be with the Ninth and Main congregation and every congregation that's upholding the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you be with those who are with us. Continue to crown them with wisdom. Pray to Father that if they're not going to your book, that they will continue, that they will begin to go to your book. Forgive us when we fall short once more. In Christ's name, amen. If you're not a child of God, you've been studying, this is your time. It's your time to get things right. The way that you do that is through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And friends, make no mistake about it. It's for the remission of sins. And when you come out of that watery grave of baptism, you can know that the God of peace is with you. And you'll have the peace of God. But you have to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.